Hello and welcome to episode 15 of Life in Hex. I'm Jalila.
I'm Sephram.
And it's 7:30 in the evening.
Unfortunately.
Yes, we have started a little bit late because my parents are away, and so we've been playing some games and chatting a lot about
I think we've just been really chilling out for a bit because, I mean, we'll come on to it in our life in a minute, but we've been like kind of busy this week.
And we have been very busy.
Relaxing, really chatting out.
Indeed. So we'll kick right into it. It's a bit of a short show. We haven't got a lot, because of E3, and so there's not a lot in the gaming, and so...
Well, the past, like, two or three shows have all been really long.
Munch
there on the old on the old hula hoops.
Mm-hmm.
Like, last week, obviously, we had Pac-Mac, and... Well, not last week. The last show we had Pac-Mac. The show before that, it was the programming talk.
Mm-hmm.
The show before that, it was Yumara.
Mm-hmm. So... Although that was... But we've been... Basically, we've been busy every
episode. We've had almost a special... event, so to speak, every show. So we haven't had a normal, just a normal show for a while now. So
what is a normal Life in Hex episode? Something to debate and discuss,
basically. What we're going to do. But
we don't have any housekeeping.
No housekeeping. Nothing's been happening.
Go on the forum, obviously, lifeinhex.com/forum. Bit quiet at the moment. Need some more
really
people
happening
on there.
Yeah, I might start posting.
we'll start spamming it, and then maybe some people will come on. Again, also say.lifeinhex.com. That will take off once we start having some stuff.
Once we start getting
about.
Some stuff to talk about, and you know, Finn, we'll start doing some stuff on that. So,
life, munch. I'll start the life then.
Yeah.
We've been doing exams most of the. You know, we've been revising for exams and had exams, and so we haven't really done anything at all over the past. You know, I've had study leave for the past week, 2 weeks, whatever. And you've been. You're always on half study leave when you like because you're at college.
Whenever I want to be at home, I can just go home. It's like cool. College is amazing for that.
And also half term is coming up. Half term holiday.
Next week.
Yeah.
When you listen to this, we'll be on half term holiday.
Yeah, we'll be on half term when you listen to this. I'm still going to have to be revising a little bit because I've got maths, business, and physics in very close quarters. But we'll find something to do. We'll find a project or something to do.
Yeah, we'll try and work on something cool. I think we should start doing, little projects,
we'll think of something
to do.
Modding-y type.
Even if it's just like going out to the city someday and maybe go war driving.
Yeah, or war walking.
War walking, whatever. Maybe go to the city and do some social engineering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, walk around asking random people some stuff, see if we can get some cool stuff out of them.
It would be cool. So that's our life, really.
Nothing been happening. Mm-hmm. I mean, kind of dull at the moment, really. Mm. The exams.
Not dull, just uneventful.
Mundane,
indeed. So we're going to jump right in. We're reorganising the show again, just to piss everyone off. we're starting off with the technology section. On Tuesday, that's just gone, I think, which was a week ago for people listening, Microsoft released the public beta of Microsoft Office 2007. They were also going to release the public beta of Vista Beta 2, but they didn't because they are lazy. I don't know.
Because Microsoft are noobs.
Well, maybe. But a free beta, can't complain about a free beta
can't
that doesn't expire
beta,
until next
no.
year. So we thought we'd do a sort of a chat. You've had a look at it. I've had a look at it.
We've had a little play with it. So we're just going to have a little discussion on it.
Yeah.
Give you the rundown.
Mm-hmm. First of all, it's very blue.
It's very blue.
I mean, the whole thing is just... blue, essentially. I mean, there's nothing else to it. I've never seen any program so blue.
As soon as you loaded up Word, it was like blue background, blue bars,
blue
everything.
I know that this is linking with Windows Vista, which obviously this is the primary platform for. I mean, if you look at the minimize and the maximize and the close buttons, they are the Windows Aero type style. It's obviously not using Aero because Aero is a 3G engine type thing, but it's using that same theme. As we say, it's very Vista.
It's very Vistery.
Vistery, very Vistery. It uses the idea of tabs and sort of the whole... I've got a hula hoop on my finger. And sort of like a process that you go through to create a document. So you start off with like insert, and then you move on to sort of design and then layout, and then you review it, so spell check and adding quotations, footnotes and that sort of thing. And then finally, sort of print or whatever, et cetera, et cetera.
So it's really changed the idea. Using Word, for example, for a good example, since it's simple to do, it's really using almost a... It's changing Word documentation and Word typing up, into almost a single process, which you start and it has a beginning and an end.
It's a lot more structured.
Yeah, it's no longer just like you can do whichever bit of the bit you want, whenever you want. It's like, first of all, you make the document, then you decide on the style, then you decide, then you write it out, then you decide on... the overall formatting, then you review it.
So, I mean, it's very structured, and I think they haven't. I don't know whether they've added very many new features, or I just dropped a hula hoop, or enhanced some things. But I do think that it's going to make people go, "Oh, that's a new feature," and actually, it's not a new feature.
It's just they haven't seen it before.
It's been hidden away in a menu, and you've never been able to see it before.
People never go after, really.
You know, like footnotes and citations and things. They've been there all the time. It's just you have to go through about 6 menus in order to find them.
Exactly.
And then it's not very intuitive or helpful. So now they're bringing forward a lot of the features that they've had in Word that they've taken the time to implement, but now they're bringing them to the forefront and saying, look, this is what you can actually do.
Yeah.
You can actually create really formal documents and Word can be used more for that sort of thing.
So really...
onto the Maryland Minis.
Yes, they are lovely. Still sticking with Word, really, is a good example to begin with. It's what we kind of found out was that what we found in our opinion is that they're really trying to push the idea of styles, style format, because
central sort of theme and making a document look
the same as
The word
uniform. It's always been there in all the words. You've always had the idea of style formatting,
heading
web format, etc. But who used it really? Who honestly used it?
They sucked. I mean, they used Arial and they looked crap. Basically.
Exactly,
they never worked.
But now they've changed the fonts. They're the default font. They've changed
Sans Serif is the default font now.
Exactly.
Default font to have Sans Serif, which is good.
So they've changed quite a lot of it, and they're really trying to push the idea of style formatting. And it's really well done, in my opinion. I mean, you can type out an entire Word document and then change the style format whenever you want, and it will make it look just as good.
Yeah, and it will keep the It will keep the theme overall the same. I noticed that this is very reminiscent of the idea of XHTML and CSS, which I've previously mentioned, I believe.
Yeah.
Which is where you have, this is to do with web design now, you have XHTML, which is your language with all your, you know, your heading one and heading two and all this, you know, your content. And then CSS is your style, and they are independent of each other. So, for example, on Life in Hex, or well, maybe not Life in Hex, but on Dusty Dreams, say, I can change the style of the page completely without having to adjust the actual content at all. So I don't have to change anything. I can completely move everything around. And that's to do with the style, and yet it still looks good and it still works. And that's the idea that they're bringing forward here, is that the styles are independent of what you write, and you can change them once you've completed the document or halfway through or anything like that.
Yeah. So it really makes Word documentation a much simpler process, and making it very looking more presentable and much simpler as well.
The program presentation itself is also much clearer, and they're also, again, keeping it very uniform with the tabs and the way that they look. You know, the buttons look very similar and they're grouped together in the useful bits.
Like you said, it's using the arrow design.
Definitely.
Vista.
Fading out and that sort of thing.
There's loads of those little fancy effects, which makes it look very...
Like a Mac.
Yeah, it makes it look very Mac-y, and it's like very stylish looking, but...
Russell.
Yes.
Shouts. Moving on to Excel, because we're just... I mean... All of the programs, apart from Publisher, have this inherent tab-based design that they've switched to, which is definitely a leap forward. I mean, you know, Word 95 and Word 6 and that has had this, you know, toolbars and stuff, and then they're finally giving it an overhaul. In Excel, the interesting thing was the formulas. When you change to the Formulas tab, you could see there were drop-down menus of all the different things you can do in formulas, and a function wizard type thing. Now, this is really good. I mean, this brings... You know, before in Excel, in order to find out the different things you could do, you had to go into a small dialog box with a scroll thing down one side, and you had to scroll through them all and click them all and try them all out sort of thing. Mm. But now it's grouped them all into mathematical expressions, logical operators, and all this sort of thing. So that makes functions a lot easier to use.
It's made formula and functions so much simpler to use for the general public. I mean, you get your average person who just wants to make like a spreadsheet with some slight formulas on it. To maybe, you know, calculate prices or whatever. And they can't do it simply very much because it's like, you know, too complicated for them. But this has made it much more simpler.
But also keeps the advanced things there, and the advanced things are still
as
easily accessible.
So
the only thing that hasn't changed much when we had a look through all the programs was Publisher.
Yeah, Publisher is still...
And Outlook, actually.
And Outlook is very similar as well. But yeah, Publisher is very much identical to what it always has been, apart from the addition of a now... very, very bloated wizard.
Yeah, when you open up when you start the program, the first immediate thing that we noticed was, oh my god, the first thing that you see is a wizard. And it's not in a box anymore.
The whole page is just nothing, you know, but a wizard.
You've got to select the page size and all that sort of thing, which is fine, but you know, there needs to be an easy way to just go, no, sod off.
Let me do it myself.
And whether there is or not is irrelevant because the whole screen just filled. Literally, both our expressions were just like, what the hell?
Wizard?
Where's the page gone?
Exactly.
You know, so
everything was the wizard to begin with.
But
we
after
got rid of
that, once we got rid of that, once we selected A4 through three menus just to get an A4 page.
And then closed the wizard on the sidebar wizard. So.
Yep. It looked exactly the same. Just
it was
with
no different.
A slight overhaul. They haven't even put the arrow thing in. Not even arrow.
No,
it's just
where, you know, it's just completely publishers.
Some
normal.
Fancy gradients and things, but that's it. And word art is exactly the same. They haven't overhauled much of the shared objects like word art and clip art.
Yeah.
Sorry, and clip art and objects.
But then again, saying that, if it's not broken, why fix it?
Yeah, I mean...
I've always liked Publisher. I've always liked Publisher's program.
They've never been too hot on their DTP. I mean, things like Quark Express and all this sort of thing. Mm. The professional ones, Page Plus, they've always been the better one. Publisher has just been a sideline project for Microsoft, so to speak.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's no reason why they need to upgrade it. It's just interesting that they've kept it the same and they've chosen not to do that. Along with everything else. Mm. I remember that Publisher wasn't actually originally integral to Office. It used to be a completely separate... It wasn't even Microsoft Office Publisher, it's just Publisher.
Yeah.
And that was completely separate back in 3.1 days. And then they've sort of gradually incorporated it into the Plus Pro, you know, the professional extra bits, what this beta is. So that was very simple.
So Publisher, no change, really. PowerPoint, now... In my opinion, PowerPoint has been the nicest change. Mm. It's had the most improvements to it. Mm. Because I've always quite liked PowerPoint, Windows PowerPoint especially. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, PowerPoint in general.
Yeah.
It's always been relatively simple to do. You could always make quite nice slideshows and presentations relatively quickly. Mm-hmm. And it's always been, you know, pretty user-friendly. I mean, I know almost all my teachers at college can know how to make a slideshow, even though they know...
And do a lot.
Yeah.
But now... I mean, they've given it the tab-based overhaul, you know, the process overhaul thing. But the styles have been completely overhauled. New styles, new themes, and they look really nice. I mean, you've even got reflections on text, which I thought was impressive.
Oh, that's really nice looking. Mm. I mean, we were just messing around with it. You were typing, like, hello, how are you? Just random things on it. And at first, it was just a blank white PowerPoint slide, right? Mm-hmm. And then you added... A format or a style to it, and it completely changed the look of it.
It did. It totally, everything was different.
It worked perfectly.
Yeah, it did. It was just completely integrated, and, you know, it's automatically updating as well. You can hover over the themes, and as you hover over them, the page dynamically changes. The same goes for Word.
Yeah.
Which is good. I mean, this is sort of like almost reminiscent of Ajax, almost. You know, hovering over things brings it to life sort of thing. But it did use a lot of... It seemed to use a lot of memory.
Oh, yeah.
I was typing things where it had the shadows and it was lagging way behind.
Yeah, you
me.
Were typing it and then it typed it half a second later.
But it is a beta, so we're expecting no memory fixes or anything yet. You know, they haven't optimized it or anything yet. But it did look good. It was clean cut and simple. The animations were all there and you could just... Again, the process thing allows you to find things that you never knew PowerPoint had and you could just click and there it is and you don't have to go through... There's almost no need to ever go into a dialogue box.
No, pretty much, no.
You know, you're always in that main central window.
And I think it's really good. I mean, I think it's going to open up Windows, you know, PowerPoint presentations to so many more people already, you know, more than they already have. I mean, there's loads of people already, as there is. I mean... People love to use PowerPoint in all presentations, be it at college, be it at work, be it at, you know, parties, whatever. Mm-hmm. But this is going to open up even more, you know, for this, so even the average Joe can make a really nice looking one.
Mm, especially with those themes, which look great, in my opinion. I thought those looked really good.
I think they're a really nice improvement to PowerPoint, and I think Microsoft really hit the nail on the head this time around.
PowerPoint is widely used, especially, like you say, in school. In business, every lesson is a PowerPoint presentation
exactly.
You know, somewhere, so... It's good. It's very good. Certainly, all that sort of thing. Outlook hasn't changed much.
Not really.
Which
I didn't spot anything new.
I mean, in a way, that's a good thing because the main people who will be using Outlook, the majority will be people in businesses, like, you know, whole swathes of computers all using Outlook for their email system. And so you don't really want to have to retrain people in how Outlook works. And you can hardly make mail one of them process tab-based initiative type things. So it hasn't changed much, but again... If it ain't broke, why fix it? The only thing is, I know just from personal experience that Outlook can have problems with Outlook Mail Service, MS Exchange stuff. So it'll be interesting to see if they've improved some of the memory hog things. Because Outlook was the first program I ever saw where when you closed it, it said, please wait while Outlook exits. That always really confused me.
Wow.
That one of the old versions of Outlook, Outlook 97 or something, if you closed it, it would sit there going, please wait while Outlook exits. And I was like, what? I've closed you. Why are you having to exit? You know, what's that about? So that always, I've always thought that Outlook is a bit of a memory hog, certainly over something like Outlook Express. But then it does incorporate a calendar to do and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And PIM type things, you know, personal information managers do tend to be quite a resource hog, you know, proper ones. Like Lotus Notes has always been a bit of a resource hog as well.
Yeah. But I mean, like you say, it's nothing different. Mm.
We can't check everything because we don't have any MS Exchange email accounts.
No, we can't really
like
check it up and properly. But so, like we said, I mean, even though nothing's changed, most likely the back engine behind it is probably tweaked and improved and everything, so there's less chance of it, I don't know, going balls up on you.
Probably. Also, they've incorporated part of the MSN desktop search into it. So there's now an add-on feature to MSN desktop where it's got an instant search of your emails. I believe MSN desktop search could always do that, but now it's, you know, it's an added feature that there's like, we want you to do this. Maybe they've had a lot of feedback that says, we love this, you know, we like the instant search. Lastly, by no means least,
this is the worst of the all the Microsoft Access.
Yeah, Microsoft Access. Now, it's never been for normal people.
Been for people who could just like sit on their computer and, you know, type a document.
If you're using Access, you're using it for a specific purpose.
You know what you're talking about. You know, you are a computer.
We thought that the process based system doesn't work for it.
It's made it worse.
Even to the point where when I started it up, normally where you've got the tabs across the top, normally it starts on the far left. Access starts on the right, which suggests straight away that the process-based system hasn't been implemented properly.
No.
We couldn't navigate it. I was like, right, I know normally you can create queries and forms and things, but
how do I do this? You know, what's going on here? I don't know what I'm on about.
And then it opens up, you know, once we click the create form, it opens something and you're like, that's a form? What?
It's like, you click one button and then everything changes again.
I think what it is that we're not used to the not having the window-based system that we had in Access, where you had sort of cascading-type windows and you could move between tables and forms and things, and now it's all maximized. And so we think it doesn't work, but we're not into that database stuff.
No, we've never really been into databases.
Maybe it's one thing we're missing, but we've never had a huge amount of data we've needed to base.
No, not really. Not really, no. I was put off Access for the rest of my whole life with bloody IT courses. Jesus. Yeah. That was so boring.
But overall, it's an interesting step that they've taken. The process-based system, essentially, the tabs, is a leap forward. It'll be interesting to see whether the general public and press think of it and whether it does actually work.
It'll be interesting to see what the average Joe thinks of Vista and...
Because maybe people won't like going through a process-based system, because you often see people on Word, they're just typing stuff and... You know, they format it at the end how they like and print and that's done, sort of thing.
But maybe the average person, you know, the average Joe, so to speak, you know, although they like being able to just like go on there and type it up, maybe they've always wanted to be able to do more stuff with it. Maybe like add a little feature, add footnotes, like you're saying, add, you know, a bibliography or a side note.
But I'm
or
wondering
whatever.
How long it will.
But they've never been able to do it because they don't know how to do it with this process section. It now takes them through how to do it, and it says thanks. It now takes them through how to do it, and it tells them exactly what to do and get it all right and everything.
But I'm wondering how long it lasts before people just go back to their old methods. Yeah. How long people take the time to go through the process-based system and follow it until they get pissed off with having to go through everything.
Yeah, I guess so.
And maybe people will want to just go back to that old system. But anyway, that's Microsoft Office 2007 Public Beta 2, or Beta 1, or Beta 0, if you like. We will also report on the Vista public beta, which is coming soon. They were supposed to release Office and Vista at the same time. I believe they have to MSDN subscribers, but not to the public. And if anyone would like to donate me an MSDN subscription account, I will be very grateful. But unfortunately, I don't have that money.
That would be very cool if you could.
But what you were saying about like the whole huge search thing and everything.
Yeah.
You remember we talked about like virtual folders where you didn't have proper folders anymore.
Exactly. Yeah? It was all just one big place.
No, that's all been scrapped.
Oh, good.
Yeah. That is still there, but you have to hunt for it. All of the good stuff, WinFS, you know, the virtual folders and all this sort of thing, that's all been scrapped. It's all back to normal.
Back to normal Windows.
They suddenly realized, oh shit, we can't actually do all of this stuff. You know, it's going to take us too long. It's going to be too buggy. So we're going to have to go back to how, you know, like XP with a bit more now.
So they're scrapping the whole idea of the XML stuff in the actual...
Yeah, some of it has been scrapped. Some of it has been kept in bastardized forms. But overall, a lot of the good stuff that was in Vista, the stuff that we talked about in our Vista show, quite a lot of that has gone.
What's the point in making Vista then? Why not just stick with XP?
Why not just move on to Blackcomb, which is the next one?
Not out of that one.
Mm, yeah. But the only reason I would want to move on to Windows Vista is DirectX 10.
Yes.
And that's it.
Gaming for us.
Mm.
But I didn't realise this. I mean, this is the first I've heard of this.
I heard about it on Paul Thurrott's WinSuper site, winsupersite.com.
Yeah.
I read a thing where he said, like, you know, it's like a how Windows Vista is progressing. And basically, he completely and utterly attacked Microsoft and said, what the fuck do you think you're doing? You've ruined it, basically. You've ruined Vista by taking so much out.
I think Vista was going to be quite cool.
It was. WinFS was going to be, you know, amazing. Virtual folders, all of this sort of cool stuff.
All the really, really cool stuff we talked about in our Vista show.
Yeah.
And now they're killing it all.
Half
just
of
to make
it's going
to
be killed.
A slightly souped up version
because
of XP.
Because they can't get it out in time, and they've realised, you know, they announced all those things before they'd actually done them, or before they'd even started.
I'd have waited. I'm happy with XP.
XP's fine, but they want to keep up with Mac, don't they? They're losing people to Mac, even though they give money to Mac. They're losing people to Apple. So, but whatever, we'll see what happens when it comes out.
I don't see why Microsoft don't just bloody buy Mac completely.
I will show you Windows Media Player 11 when we go back in.
Oh, it's been released.
Well, the beta has.
Oh.
MixWizard hated it
because
he hates the album art design. And I must agree, I found it insanely hard to navigate because I'm so used to iTunes.
Yeah.
But maybe, you know, I'm never going to use it, but I just downloaded it to have a look. And I think if you used it enough, you would get used to it and get used to the organization of it. But personally, I thought, no, fuck that. I'm going to stick with iTunes.
iTunes. I do like iTunes.
iTunes is just simple, no nonsense. You can search through stuff instantly and
the only qualm I have with iTunes is it's a bit of a memory hog.
It is a bit of a memory hog.
But other than the memory hog thing, it's really nice.
I think the main reason it's a memory hog is because it's been moved from Apple to Windows. Yeah. I think on Mac, it's a very smooth, slick program. I've seen it on Joe's Mac Mini, and it's very slick there. You know, it's almost inbuilt, instant. You know, it's always there type thing. But on Windows, yeah, it's a bit of a, you know, we've ported it over type thing.
Maybe they should spend a bit more time coding it properly into Windows.
Maybe. But yeah, hopefully that will be coming out soon. I will obviously get a copy of it, and I'll sling it on Aya and give it a try. Well, hope it doesn't wreck
Aya. Do a review of it?
Yeah, well, yeah. We'll do the sort of thing we did for Office,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, have a chat about it.
Okay, we've got some music now. How are we doing for time? 20-something.
Not going to be a short show, after all.
Record time, 27 minutes. Yeah, it is going to be a short show. We've got some music now. This is Corporate Whore again. We were browsing through music and we were thinking, this sucks. We were browsing through, as we do, the groove rock genre of music.podshow.com.
Which is a great site. I mean, I know we've plugged them before, but we're going to plug them again.
Because they tell us to.
Yeah, we have no choice to, but hey. They're a really good site. I mean, they provide really good music and all for free. And it's great for us to be able to look through and find the music we want. But we were looking through the groove rock section, like you just said.
And we were getting, like, electronic techno and stuff and
experimental
rock.
Music. You're like, what?
What's happened to the groove rock? But so we went back to the things that Yamara spotted, and that was Corporate Whore. And we had a couple of... Well, when Yamara was on, we had Corporate Whore with Lighthouse.
Yes, which I really liked. I mean, he still listens to it. You know, he downloaded it and listens to it.
Excellent. So this is Corporate Whore, again, with a song called Runaway. If you'd like to go and visit their website, I think it's actually a online shop type thing. Mm-hmm. It's at www.cdbaby.com/corporatewhore.
So that's, you know, it's just a CD baby with, you know, their corporate whore if you count on it.
And obviously thanks to music.podshow.com. That's
yes.
Music.podshow.com. Music.podshow.com. For all your music.podshow.com
needs.
We
did that like 11 times in one show.
Yes, that was show@lifeinhex.com.
Show@lifeinhex.com.
So yeah, I hope you enjoy this. It's a good song.
Yes.
Yes.
Here I stand on a runway of pain, not knowing how to be a man. And life has been planned as a lonely roller coaster while I hold. Apart and make life better. Put our final thoughts out one last time. Oh, we should reach and steal the weather. Have a go and find this ever all of the time.
Okay, welcome back. We hope you enjoyed Corporal Hall with Runaway. Seferin is just laughing at an outtake, which you will hear at the end.
Sorry.
You've got some anime, I believe.
Yeah. Now, I'm surprised I haven't done this sooner, to be honest, because I mean, I really, really, really like this anime, and I'm not sure why I decided to do it this time. I think I was just talking to Pacamac about it or something. You know, we often have the argument about I say it rocks, he says it sucks. But I'd like to do a little review.
You say tomato, he says tomato.
Yeah, exactly. That'll do. I'd like to do a little review. Well, not a little review, just a normal review on an anime called The Vision of Escaflowne. Now, I'm not sure. I think it's been out for, what, 6, 7, 8 years now?
Oh, crikey. Long one.
It's not
crikey,
been out,
mate.
It's not been out really a long time. It's not, like, really old like the stuff we've done in the past. But it has been out for a good few years now. It's not, like, a new one.
Uh-huh.
But it's a really good one. I mean, it's like, it's one of those anime which was done in combination with like lots of different production houses, and it was done with like a very large budget. Mm-hmm. And it was like one of the big anime that said, right, we're going to make a bloody big anime.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily going to be a good one. Mm. It's not like, I wouldn't consider it to be legendary,
right,
like something like Tenchi is or Evangelion is, etc. Mm. I wouldn't consider it to be that, like that kind of legendary. But it kind of feels like it's just like this big thing that they spent like tons of money on.
Uh-huh.
But it's a good one. I think they did well in it.
Mm.
Now, the basic story idea of it and the basic genre is kind of a fantasy mech type thing.
Right.
It's a really interesting one. You know how when in most anime, when it's mech, mm, it's almost always sci-fi. I mean, think about, yep, it. Giant robots is equal sci-fi, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it's not. You've got giant robots. Well, not even robots, really. They're like big machine-type things.
Right.
You're not like robots, so to speak. But like it's in like a medieval-style fashion. They use swords and shields and everything.
Ah, I see. I get the idea now, yeah.
But at the same time, half of them use swords and shields and all like look like, you know, knights from the 15th century or whatever, whatever, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But the other half of them are like super high-tech ones that fire liquid metal and can cloak and can fly.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. Like, the main characters, the mechs are called Guy Meliths.
Mm.
And the main character's Guy Melith is called Escaflowne, hence, mm-hmm, the name.
Mm-hmm. The flow of Escaflowne, whatever it is.
The Vision of Escaflowne. And it's like, it's really archaic looking, big white mech, mm, which is like really heroic looking almost. But then you've got the enemies ones, like, well, the bad guys ones.
Yep.
Which are from this thing called the Zybuck Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using these, like, stylish, sleek, curvy, black, shiny, armoured ones.
All right. Who
have cloaks that make them, you know, invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And they fire, like, this liquid metal stuff out their hands, and they can move around quickly and fly. It's, like, they're very contrast-based. It's really strange how it's done. I don't know why it works, but the battle systems, you know, when they fight, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The battles between them, they seem really believable almost, even
old against
though,
new, yeah?
Yeah, kind of. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know,
sorry, I haven't got the show notes up.
At the same time, you don't consider Escaflowne to be a really old looking mech.
Mm.
And you don't consider these ones from the Zypek Empire to be really new looking mechs.
No.
It's weird how it works. I don't know.
It just works.
But anyway, that's the genre basically.
Mm-hmm.
The basic story plot is about the main character is this girl called Hitomi.
Mm-hmm.
Hitomi Kenzaki. And she is a track runner. And one day, when she's doing this track, she's trying to run the 100 meters really, really fast.
Mm-hmm.
She somehow breaks through almost like this dimension barrier. Not because she's running so fast. I think it's because she's got some kind of connection to this other world. I don't want to try and give away the story, obviously.
Uh-huh.
And she meets this guy called Varn,
mm-hmm,
who's like the prince of this country in another world.
Right.
It's almost other. I wouldn't say other dimension, because it's not another dimension, because the two worlds coexist almost. It's very strange how it works. Because when she goes to this other world called Gaia, you know, similar, obviously, the word Gaia
Mother
means Earth.
Yeah.
When she goes to Gaia, she can look up at the sky and see the moon, but she can also see what they call the mystic moon, which is the Earth.
All right.
So from Gaia, you can see the Earth, but you can't see Gaia from the Earth.
Right, okay.
So it's, they like coexist, but one doesn't know the other exists. Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. What about animation quality?
Animation quality is really high, because it's, like I say, it had a massive budget.
Mm.
I mean, it's really nice the whole way through.
Polished?
It's very polished, yes. Mm-hmm. It's very shiny almost, you know, the way it's all been done properly.
Mm-hmm.
The drawing style is obviously very nice. yes, it's a really nice looking anime. Mm-hmm. You know, it's because it's relatively new. They were able to use CG with it, but they haven't gone overboard with the CG. The CG still looks like everything animated by hand.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool.
So it looks really nice. The sound, the music, are really nice. There's really nice music.
All right, cool.
I mean, one song that always sticks in my head was the ending song to the movie version of it, although the movie version is totally different to the series, has nothing to do with the series.
Right.
But that's, I'm not reviewing the movie, obviously. But the song is really good. It really sticks in your head. And the opening and ending songs, they seem to really fit. You know, the ending, the opening songs are like kind of like...
So it's well thought out.
Yeah, yeah. It's really well done. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy the music and the sound. The voices, now, I actually have to admit, I do watch it in English.
All right.
Most of the time. But the English version is quite good. It's got some well-known characters. I mean, for example, Vaughn, the voice actor for Vaughn is the same guy who does, like, Vash and Goku and all that.
All right.
Dragon Ball and everything. What else is there to cheer
about? Bad
side? Bad side. The story does feel slightly rushed in some parts.
Right.
It feels like it's trying to get through something that should have taken longer than 26 episodes. Mm-hmm. It's a standard 26 long episode series. So, but it seems that they really kind of rushed the story to fit it all in those 26 episodes. I reckon they could have at least made 40 episodes out of it. Mm-hmm. And I think they should have done.
Right.
I think they should have maybe not dragged it out, obviously, but like maybe spread it out a bit more. So stopped and didn't condense it as much. But that's just my opinion.
All right, cool. So out of 10?
Out of 10... 7 to 8.
All right.
Reason being is because I feel that it could have been better if they'd have maybe played on character development a bit more, because you didn't learn too much about the characters' past very much, mm-hmm. apart from the two brothers, but I don't want to give away anything.
All right, yeah.
And other than that, character development would be nice, and the relationships between the characters would have been nice a bit better, but the animation style, the battles, the overall story, it's pretty good.
And well polished.
Yes.
All right, cool. Okay, thank you very much for the Vision of Escaflowne.
Yes.
Yes. So we got a very short gaming segment this episode, mainly because of E3.
Yes.
Every developer who's a developer pumps everything they can out at E3 and
they
shows
save it all,
all
up
their
and
new
go
games,
bang at E3.
And so then they don't get released until months afterwards, otherwise the hype all gets merged together. So the gaming scene generally has been very quiet, just a post E3 sort of, bits of news here and there trickling in.
Yeah.
But overall, most of the stuff was announced at E3, which we mentioned in the previous episode.
Exactly, so there's really not a whole lot of gaming to mention. Mm-hmm. I mean,
obviously, all games that we're looking, there's awesome games coming out, like New Super Mario Bros. For DS, which is just released, I think, in America.
Yeah, I think it's just come out.
Obviously all the Wii games, like Mario Galaxy.
But they're not coming out for another couple of months.
Yeah, they're not coming out until the Wii comes out. So basically, we're looking on the Wii, and we're looking for autumn this year, which is when things like BF2,
all the big new PC games come out.
Battlefield 2142, maybe Crisis. Don't know when that's released.
What about Total Quake Wars?
That's again autumn sort of time.
Yeah.
So, pretty soon we'll have some stuff again. We'll have some reviews, but
we'll be able to start doing some proper stuff.
I've been pining for a new game and haven't had anything. So,
which is why we've done what we've done.
We both moved on to some MMOs.
Yes, I mean we said we wouldn't until later. We said we'd kind of like maybe hold off MMOs for a bit until summertime.
But yeah, you started playing Ragnarok Online again. Good time, during exams.
During the exams, I started playing MMO and I'm cripping out.
And I also have been having a quick look at a free trial of EVE Online.
Yes.
The Blood Moon Rising or whatever the expansion pack is. EVE is a space-based MMO. I remember playing Earth and Beyond, obviously.
Oh, Earth and Beyond.
Which was a great game.
We mentioned that like every episode, don't we?
So I've had a look at EVE. I got kind of disappointed today when I wanted to get a cargo tugger and found that as a trial, I can't get it. So my original plan was to get a trial now, finish my exams, and then do another 15-day trial. But now, all I'm going to do is do the 15-day trial now. After exams, I'm going to buy it straight away so that I can actually get the proper 30 days and then properly start playing it.
And stop messing about and, get the proper...
Get it serious and start getting
into
it.
Cargo tugger and everything.
Because I really like it. I really like the feel of it. I really like the gritty professionalness of the market and the player-driven economy.
I like the quote you made about it's one of the only MMOs that you can actually enjoy while alt-tabbed.
Alt-tabbed, yeah. I mean, it's very slow-paced, but that's suited for me. I don't want to have to sit there, constantly trying to work as I'm mining, pressing a button to mine or something. If I can leave it an alt-tab and go chat to some people or work on, one of my Linux boxes, then that's good, and just go and check it occasionally. You're not supposed to play AFK, obviously, but you can. And it's good. I like it. I'm enjoying it. But obviously, as I say, not being able to get a cargo tugger has kind of pissed me off and limited me.
Sorry. I would also imagine that it's a rather slow game to begin with because you haven't really got much resources to use.
Apparently, especially with the game also being well established, the best thing to do is to get into a big corporation early because they can give you tons of money because obviously they're rich and then you can really get going and start taking in influence.
Yeah, because I mean, I think one thing that kills players' enjoyment of an MMO, and I would think Eve really establishes it, feels this, is a new person plays, they don't know anyone on it, and they're trying to do...
The loneliness of starting solo.
Exactly, they're starting off solo, and it's like, well, you play for a few days, and it's quite cool, but then, you know, it gets mundane, you've got nothing special to do because you're not with anyone else, and it gets the same.
Yeah,
old, same
I mean, the interesting thing, the most interesting thing, along with the player-driven economy, is the training, which takes place in real time. So you don't have to constantly grind to, you know, there's no levels.
There's no such thing as leveling up.
Yeah, and there's no such thing as, well, there are skill points, but you don't adjust them. But instead, you have skills that you have to buy, and then you train them, and they take, say, a couple of hours to train a skill. And once you get up to high levels, like level 4 or 5 of the starting skills, you're talking 20 hours or 2 days even, or even a week to train something. Which is really interesting. Also, the differences between the levels are very small, like 5% increase in accuracy or something. So even though you're a couple of levels behind someone, that isn't actually a lot of difference. And so that levels the playing field quite a lot.
Yeah.
So you don't feel, as a little guy, extremely threatened by people who are in big ships coming around shooting everyone, mainly because there's police in the high security sectors that will kick anyone's ass.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. Obviously, I will give a much fuller review and information. Obviously, it's a fairly an old game now, but I'd still like to give a review.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, when I get the proper 30 days.
I'm sure there's people
days.
Out there who's never played it and they want to know about it and everything.
Yep, so Eve's cool.
But yeah, like I say, we're going to do an MMO special sometime.
At some point. After the summer sometime, yeah.
After we've both played all the MMOs we want to play.
We're going to go through all the free trials that we can find. EverQuest,
I think, like we said, is that because we're going to play together, we're going to start at the same time, we're going to help each other at the very beginning of the game, it's going to stop that whole loneliness feeling kicking in and thinking, oh, this is shit, and stop playing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we've got each other to play off of, so... Mm-hmm.
So, it'd be very cool, and you've been playing Aro.
Oh, I've come back to Aro again after 9 months.
Playing the War on Imperium or whatever.
Yeah, I joined a guild. It's got some of my old friends in it. Mm-hmm. It was really, really random, actually. I was sitting in Frontiera, just, you know, sitting around, and I had a little chat window open saying revising, because I was revising for my history exam. Mm-hmm. And I was just randomly sitting there. I didn't choose the spot on purpose, but I had someone walk up to me, sit down right next to me, and it's my chat room, and it was like, hey. I'm like, hello, who are you? You don't remember me, do you? I'm like, what? It's me. I was like, oh shit. And I met a mate from my old mate old guild, and apparently where I was sitting was their guild spot. Totally random.
How lucky
was that? So I met up with all my old guilds, and so they invited me into the guild instantly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm level 92 since, so I'm pretty good. They invited me into the guild instantly, and they play War of Imperium. Mm-hmm. So I've been playing that. Mm-hmm. First time I played it, I was like, oh my god, this is rather boring and shit, because I kept dying, I kept being warped out randomly.
Yes.
I was like, what the fuck is going on? Uh-huh. But now, a second time I played it, I was like, yeah, I know what I'm doing, I can go and do it, you know. I helped break the Emp this time around. Mm-hmm. I helped defend pretty good, so yeah, I really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Good, so back to cripping on that then.
Oh yes, definitely. Yes. Oh, getting 10% takes so fucking long.
Leveling up.
Ugh. Got to do it again tonight. Oh, I don't want to though.
Okay, so that wraps up this short but, you know, information filled.
Yeah,
we talked about Office.
We had a lot of stuff at Office. We had a nice anime review
and not a lot of gaming.
Oh, we've chatted about
Eve.
What we've been doing on gaming. So
we wanted to have a shorter show because it's fairly late. We want to get back some gaming.
We were playing Quake 3 early, weren't we?
Oh, that was.
We were having such a laugh. I mean, even though at one point you were absolutely fucking kicking my ass, I was actually enjoying being kicked.
It's one of those things where, you know, as a group of people, like, you know, me, you, Mix, Pro, and etc. We've never really got into Quake 3 yet. It's a big multiplayer thing. I always remember the first time I knew what it was, I sort of heard of it even, was actually in a PC Answers magazine where they had a extreme don't try this at home thing. And someone had got a computer, normal computer, and they were a truck driver. And they got a truck exhaust and stuck a truck exhaust on top of their computer.
What the fuck?
With like 6 fans in over their CPU. And literally, it sounded like a truck when you started it, apparently, because the whole thing vibrated, big chrome thing sticking out the top, literally like that.
Oh,
at the
my
top.
God, that's amazing.
And it was all so that they could get some extra FPS at Quake 3.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was the first time I thought, whoa, what's Quake 3?
And yeah, we were both running at 250 FPS.
I think it might have been Quake 2 earlier, that, back then. But yeah, so we've been playing some Quake 3. It is a serious, I find it's like a serious adrenaline kick, just rushing around and killing people.
Although
everything.
One thing I didn't understand about it was, why does all the character models the same as the one you choose?
But no, maybe that's a setting in the setting.
I'm going to have to change that, I think.
But yeah, so we want to get back to some gaming. So
play some of that bit more. Maybe play a bit of Dawn of War because we got our asses kicked earlier.
And we're going to win this time.
We're going to win.
Fire Prisms for the win.
Yes. You can have my relic this time.
Indeed.
I can't believe you let the enemy take your relic.
What relic?
It's behind your base.
It's not behind my base, though. Yours was, but mine wasn't.
It was?
Mine was down there, near the enemy.
You were like here. You were like here. I was here. My mom was there. Yours was there.
Was it?
You just didn't go and get it.
Okay, so plugs and shouts. We haven't got any plugs to any websites at all, apart from dead.dustydreams.co.uk. Come and have a chat to the clan.
And plugs to the usual, like Hack5.
Yeah, Hack5.
Hello, guys.
Beamred.com.
Thanks for always like being cool to us and helping us out with anything we need.
Letting us steal their IRC.
Exactly. Well,
I go on there a bit.
You go on there a bit and chat with them. So plugs to all the usual people.
Uh-huh. I got a shout just to a friend of mine called Sil, who lives in California. I don't think she listens to the show, but I'll make her listen to it.
Yes. And she'll be like, wow, my God, you bugged me with the show.
No. And also, you have a shout to
all my friends on Ragnarok.
Yes.
All my guild.
All your guild.
So, hello all. Hello.
Hello the guild. Hello, RO.
Hello, all. Hello, everybody who plays RO.
Yes.
How are you doing?
Well, there's Koreans.
No. I mean IRO.
Ah, okay. Okay, so I'm Gelada.
And I'm Sephron.
And that's been episode 15
of Life in Hex.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Stop recording!
Sean Connery. More champagne. What show do you know that talks about squirty things?
Life in Hex, baby.
Only Life in Hex. LifeinHex.com.
LifeinHex.com, people. We talk about squirty.
Hearing voices.
No, you're not.
Hello. I have a voice in your head.
I'm alone.
Oh no.